It sounds thrilling at the back, doesn't it? If anybody wants to join them, please go out. If you can stand it, we'll turn to Luke 2. It's all been read. I'm only going to look at two or three verses to begin with in this chapter. Start at verse 10, Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." And verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Well, how do we know it's good news? Just to read it. A baby's been born. How do we know it's good news? Well, if you're a believer today, it is, isn't it? And I remember when I was brought up in a church singing this stuff, but it never went in particularly until I began to seek. And I began to look and I began to examine. And that's what we have to do. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. That's what the Lord says. It's good news for Christmas only because of Easter. Only because of the resurrection and the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's good news. And if you're filled with the Spirit this morning, it's even better news. Hallelujah. And I remember when I came to Christ, I was relieved of my guilt and sin. And an hour or two after, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I've never looked back. And the words mean something. Everything's changed. And I want to sing glory to God. Why? Because I'm different. And I haven't done anything. He did it. Amen. He keeps doing it. But the problem is today we live in a culture that deliberately tries to minimize it. I won't go into the reasons, but there are many reasons why that is happening. And if we discern the systems today and the politics and all the rest of it, we can see why it's happening. And it's all available to look at. But not if you watch the main media, it isn't. But if you look behind it, then it is very obvious what is happening to this world. And it's all prophesied in the Bible. The fact that the shepherds here were able to glorify God. And why did the Holy Spirit come to the shepherds of all people? Because they already knew the Old Testament promises of hundreds of years ago that a Saviour was going to be born. Who can tell the truth? Who can tell the future? Who is there here that can tell us what's happening next week? Never mind next year or 10 years. How long have we all got to live? We haven't a clue. And you can look at the people who give us all the gaff about telling the future and prophecies and stuff. And if they're 10% accurate, that is an absolute miracle. Normally, it's less than 2% accurate if you look at the facts and the surveys that have been done. But every word in the Bible, every prophecy is 100% true. All the prophecies of Jesus coming in the first place and Jesus coming back in the second place. Now, the second place isn't being fully fulfilled yet, but there's loads of prophecies already come true. We know exactly. And if you've got confidence in all the prophecies, 120 of them, in the first coming, then you can have confidence that at least half the prophecies of the second coming have already been fulfilled. The day when Jesus Christ will appear to every believer and call us into heaven is coming soon. The day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to earth in judgment and righteousness, I'm sorry to say, is coming soon. What is the dividing line? What is it all about? Why do we meet here? Why are we singing the songs about Christmas? Why can we say with the shepherds, "An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone"? This is all miraculous stuff. It's all supernatural. If you don't believe the supernatural, you'll never ever come to faith. In fact, the supernatural is all around us in the world. When I was young, I never particularly watched kids' programs, but I remember Bill and Ben, the flower pot men. Do you remember that? Yeah. I can tell you enjoyed it, yes. But if you watch children's TV today, it's not Bill and Ben the Flowerpot Men, is it? It's witches and all sorts of occultic stuff that's gradually being fed in. Even the most popular films of the day, is it J.K. Rowling who wrote these things? Even that, very attractive to people. It's all being fed in gradually, bit by bit, by bit, by bit, until everybody's conditioned. It says in the scripture, if you want to stand against this, you have to have the Spirit of God in your heart, the truth of God in your heart, and you have to believe it. Amen. That's the only way that will get us through. But these things have to be thought through. These things have to be referred to in the scripture. Is the Bible right or is it wrong? This is a key question that stands before us. And everybody should examine the scriptures. Now, most people write it off because they just go with the flow. Never looked, never examined it. But if you examine it in detail and you ask people who went on the street yesterday and you ask people why they don't believe or why they don't think there's a God or why they might be an atheist, what kind of answers do you get? Drivel answers. No sense. It's just like sound bites, parroted and repeated and repeated and repeated. Never looked. Never looked. The glory of the cross is that when you look, ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened to it. You will find. But God will never, never force himself on us. Never, never, never. And if you've never thought about it, it's probably stuff you don't want. I mean, we're all, well, I don't know about you, but I was inundated by stuff through the post I didn't want the last few weeks. Have you? Yeah. I could paper the wall in my lounge with election leaflets. They came through the door. Fortunately, it's not far from the doorway to the bin. But I didn't actually need any. I already made my mind up. I knew. And I'm doubtful. All the money that's been spent, it's absolutely incredible. And the people that lost the most seats seem to have spent the most money. Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? But that's what's happened. But all this is not to do with politics. This is to do with something far greater than politics. Do you realise that God is in control of the whole of his creation? I mean, all the stuff we hear about climate change and a threat for this, a threat for that, a threat for the other, there's no actual science behind it, even though it's propounded as though there was. The level of deceit that we are being exposed to in this world is almost beyond anything that anyone could have imagined. But it's true. But if we know the Word of God and how the Word of God speaks to every aspect of life and how he speaks to my life and to your life, what a dramatic change will come. Because when the Lord comes in, eyes are opened, light comes in, and understanding comes in, and joy comes in. Isn't that wonderful? How many people are filled with joy today? Have you looked at faces on the street? Well, I know you are. I've seen you waving. And I've heard you singing. But you look at faces on the street, my goodness. It's the weight of the world on thy shoulders. That's how people are today. The only solution is to know what God is saying to you. Has God spoken to you? I remember years ago, and I was working in Bootle actually, and I'd had a prayer time before I went to work, and got something out of the scripture. And at coffee time in the office, they were talking about this. I can't remember how it came about. I just casually said, well, God said this morning. And there was a young lad in the corner who was from Sri Lanka. His family was Buddhist, actually. And he almost spilt his coffee. And he looked at me and he said, God's spoken to you. Now, I thought, originally, he thought I was being arrogant. But I don't think he was. It wasn't that kind of question. It was a question, can God really communicate to people? Well, if you believe it, you know, don't you? And he communicates through his written word. He communicates to us in prayer. He communicates through circumstances. The things that happen in your life, If you're seeking him, don't happen by chance. There's a purpose. God is a God of purpose. It's not aimless. The world teaches you that everything's aimless. What's evolution but aimlessness? Isn't it incredible? I mean, how can intelligent people look at the world around them, look at the moon and the sun, and everything's in a cycle, everything works together so we can live on the earth, and biological and everything, and they say, well, one day there was nothing, the next day there was something. And then this is what we've got. Does it make any sense? But when you know God, things begin to fall into place in a dramatic way. And anyway, why do we need God? Well, yes, there's understanding in this life, that's what I'm trying to say. But it's more than that. Why were we created? Did God create us to come and die? And it all disappears? No, he created us for eternity to be with him. And this life is a preparation for that. We have an opportunity to come to him. But why? Why do we need this message? Why do we need the message of the cross? Why do you need anything in life if you don't think you do? If you're on a ship, you don't need a lifebelt until the boat's sinking. When the boats start to sink, you better get one. And when we stand before the bar of God, and God says, has your sin been forgiven by my precious son? And the answer is no. That's a very heavy thing to say. But it is judgment. Because God is a God of righteousness. God is a God of perfection and holiness. And Jesus is the God-man. Fully man, but fully God. He came for a specific purpose. The Old Testament prophets knew, the ones who were faithful, and there weren't many, but the ones who were faithful knew it. They were looking for it. As we've read the scriptures today, they expected it to happen, and it did. When is Jesus coming back? I don't know. But my goodness, there's a lot of things in place ready for it to happen. It could be this week, next year, 5 years, I don't know. But things are in place. And when we stand at the bar of God, we need a lawyer, if you like, to speak for us. Because God is looking to know whether our sin is forgiven. And it's a state of sin. It's not just individual sins. We're born like that. We have no propensity to seek God, naturally, because we're not with him. But when we start to look at the truth and we start to see it, we start to ask. And we start to see what is there for us. So God does speak to us. God may have spoken to you already this morning, through a scripture, through a song, through anything. God can speak at any time. God can speak to you when you're in the car driving. Doesn't make any difference. Ask, knock, seek. And it will be revealed to you. The shepherds here already were prepared. But as we look back to this, we just need to go a little further back into Luke 1. Why is this so important? Because before Jesus was born, there was a man called John the Baptist born. And John the Baptist was there to preach repentance and changing your lifestyle. Repentance doesn't just mean sorry. It means being determined to turn your life around. And John was preaching that. He was saying, the Son of God's coming. I'm not worthy to him, but he's coming. And I'm telling you, you've got to be ready. That was the message that John the Baptist brought. But John had a bit of a traumatic experience, actually, in the doing of it. We won't read the scripture. It'd take too long this morning, because I know the children are enjoying themselves out there. But the issue was that Zacharias was a priest and he was worshipping God in the temple. And an angel came to him and said, your wife's going to have a baby. Well, they were over 100 years old or something, I don't know, but they were way past having a baby. Now, I know what that's like because we were a long time married before we had a baby. And how did we know an angel didn't come to Judy and say, "You're having a baby." She's just sick every 20 minutes. That's how we knew. But the angel came and spoke to Zacharias, and he was scared to death. He didn't know what to do. And he didn't believe it. And because he didn't believe it, God said, "Well, you're going to be dumb until the baby's born, and you're going to call his name John," and then disappeared. And I don't, it would be 9 months, wouldn't it, I suppose? And that's exactly what happened, that the man was struck dumb because he did not believe. Now, he was already a believer, if you like. He was worshipping God. And there's a point there. If you're seeking God, get in the place where Christians are. Get your head in the Bible. Get to the place where you can find out. Now, he was already a believer. Now, the fact if you're not a believer this morning, well, there are examples in the scripture of people who pray. There's a Roman soldier, centurion, called Cornelius. He was seeking God. Didn't know him. A completely different culture, a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. But he was seeking God. And he was earnestly praying, so much so God heard him and sent the Apostle Peter, miraculously, to sort him out. And that's what happened. And they were not only saved, they were filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time and doing exactly what had happened to the apostles. He wasn't a believer, but he was seeking. Ask, knock, seek. And that's what he was doing. So you've got to be in the right place to actually hear God. And it was a shock to him. He said, because Zacharias thought he was okay. He'd done this loads of times before. There was no particular reason on that day why anything should be any different. But it was. He was shocked. You know, when God speaks to you, it can be a positive shock. It can be a negative shock. It can be negative if you suddenly realize what your life's like. It can be a positive shock if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling down, and you suddenly realize that God loves you. We've probably sung it in the hymns, but these things go over your head, don't they? But God loves every single one of us, every single one. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he will not force his way in. He will not push. He wants people to come voluntarily when they see the facts. That's exactly what it is. So Zacharias was absolutely shocked when the angel came to him. He was scared. And again, it was all supernatural. All supernatural. And the baby was going to be born, even though it looked absolutely crazy that it would be. Because John was going to preach repentance in a preparation for Christ, in a preparation for receiving Christ. If we want the benefits of what Jesus has done, we've got to come through, as it were, the teaching of John the Baptist. Because God is looking at us and saying, "Do you want to change your life? I've shown you what it's like. Do you want to change it?" That was John's message. Look, and leaders, I mean, this is incredible, this man. I don't know how he got away with it. Well, he didn't in the end, did he? Had him executed. But he had the leaders of Israel came in and he said, "You lot, you're a load of vipers." If anybody says that, well, they do say it in Parliament these days, don't they? You know, words don't mean anything anymore. But just imagine, he was telling Pete, "No holds barred, you're a sinner. You're due for judgment." That was the message. And against the background of that, they wanted to be relieved. There was the need. If there's no need to come to Jesus, you don't know you're a sinner. And it doesn't matter. But if you know that you are, that's the drive that will bring you to salvation. It will bring you to ask God what it's all about. And will he talk to you? And will he sort your problems out? Now, Zacharias' problem was he didn't believe what God had said. Well, I wonder what your problem is today. The strange thing is, I don't know anybody that hasn't got problems, do you? There's always a problem somewhere. And it often impacts other people. But you know, it says in the gospel that the power of God will break the strongholds in our lives. And my goodness, do people need that in the world today? Things they can't deal with, can't cope with. When the Holy Spirit comes in, forgiveness of sin comes in, it's a whole different picture. There's joy in heaven when a sinner is saved, it says. God is working to that all the time, but he doesn't go on forever. Why doesn't he come back? The world's so awful. Why doesn't he come back soon? That's what people on the street were saying yesterday. We're talking to them. So everybody says the world's in a mess. It's a rotten place. Well, it is. That's predicted in Scripture. Well, why doesn't Jesus come back and sort it out then? Because there are some people who haven't yet come to trust him, and he wants them to trust him. And it might be you this morning to trust him before he does come back, and then the curtain comes down. Will it be too late? That's why we have this situation as it is. But that was Zacharias' problem. He didn't actually believe it. He was shocked. And what in effect he was saying to God was, I don't believe it because we're too old. I'm too old. She's too old. Way past the age of giving birth. I don't believe it. In effect, what he was saying to God was, well, prove it. How many times have you heard that? Talking to people, witnessing to people. Well, prove it. They don't actually mean it, actually. Because if they did, they would ask you for a proper answer. But usually, if they say anything at all, they come up with sound bites they've heard somebody else say that doesn't have any meaning. But to prove it, you can. Because you can prove the scriptures are prophetically 100% accurate. You can prove the authenticity of the documentation. And how many people have tried to prove that Jesus never rose from the dead? When I was first saved, I was 18. Well, coming on to 18. I read a book called Who Moved the Stone, written by a lawyer who tried to disprove the resurrection and ended up being a Christian. How many times has that happened? The proof of the resurrection of Jesus. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. It's all supernatural. Man today thinks he can control and do everything, but he can't. God is in control and lets him go so far. It is supernatural. And it's something out of this world. It's a different dimension. So what do we say again? When this story ends a few months later and the baby is born and all the family are gathered together, the baby's born, there's a big excitement about it, and they're all saying, what's his name going to be? And he wrote down on a tablet in those days, a bit of paper now, and said his name is John. They all said he can't be John. That name isn't in the family. And his wife spoke up, Elizabeth spoke up, and said, well, yes, his name is John. And then he could speak himself. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes, and not always, God knows what he's doing with your life. If you've got a serious problem today, God can step in and God may bring healing or whatever it is in your life today. He may not. We don't know what his purpose is. But sometimes it happens. One of the facts that brings divine healing is when people come to Christ. There are other reasons. But when people come to Christ, that can happen. So, and then he did believe. And you need divine power to believe. You can't just decide to believe it. You can look at the facts. You can ask. You can seek. You can knock. And then God will come to you. The glory of the gospel is that God comes to us. We are not solely seeking him. That's the glory of the gospel. And then, of course, later on, Mary had the similar thing, didn't she? When the angel had come to her. But Mary was a true believer. She didn't deny it. She just accepted what God had actually said. And it was glory. And it was a wonderful glory. because Jesus was born. Jesus means Joshua, it means Saviour, because it's divine love. But before we see that divine love in our lives, first of all, we have to come and be convicted of repentance. We have to be convicted of our need, of our state of sin and our faults. And when we do, it says in that verse 37 and chapter 1, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Whatever you think, you know, a lot of people put off believing. That word believe is difficult to understand in modern parlance. What it really means is commit. People are scared to death of it. What will people say in the office? What will people say in the family? Well, is it more important or is it not? You set the tone. You set the standard. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what Christmas is all about. And finally, it says fear fell on all. When God is at work, there is a fearfulness comes in. An awesomeness, a fearfulness. If you haven't experienced it, God hasn't yet spoken to you in a way that you can understand. He may have done, but you didn't catch it. But he hasn't spoken in a way you can understand. So the good news is this. The thing which gave glory to God is believe, commit yourself to him, and it is good news. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's coming back again, and he loves every single person who is in this room today. But just believe on him and your sins will be forgiven and wiped out completely. And he will be your advocate at the bar of God. Hallelujah to him. Praise his name. Amen.